As we all know, the Bennelong by-election was last weekend, but discussion of Chinophobia has been a hot topic all week. Has the Chinese-Australian community been used as a political tool during the election?
Absolutely. I think as a Chinese-Australian, I don't think I've ever recalled seeing our community being the front and centre of Australia's political system. I mean, when you read about the Bennelong by-election, a majority of the analysis and commentary was about the Australian Chinese community. It was about, Chinese influence. It was about the Sam Dastyari donation scandal and the fallout from that. But what a lot of people are not aware, and political parties themselves who aren't aware, and they've demonstrated this, is Chinese Australians, like mainstream and ordinary Australians, are concerned about things that normal Australian families are concerned about. But unfortunately, what we saw in the Bennelong by-election was a complete blowout of the Chinophobia angle coming from the media, but also from both major parties as well.
Michelle Grattan, professorial fellow at the University of Canberra, wrote in The Conversation that the effort to combat Chinese covert interference is not Chinophobia and is not an attack on the local Chinese community, even though Labor candidate Christina Keneally said that it was like a Reds under the bed scare. Who do you agree with?
It's really difficult because whilst Michelle Grattan is saying that it's not an attack on, not a direct attack on the Australian Chinese community, but when you are having these conversations in the media, it sort of goes back to the Chinese community from a representative perspective. Like, people can't really tell the difference between Chinese Australians to Chinese citizens to the Chinese Communist Party to the Kuomintang. Like, people can't really tell the difference. And we've also seen some of this Chinophobia appear in other parts of Australian life as well, such as, foreign investment, such as Chinese investment into the property market, Chinese nationals purchasing property. It's not new for the Australian Chinese community to be badged with these perspectives. So it's a bit difficult for the Chinese Australian community to navigate that.
Labor's Chinophobia scare campaign gained traction in the by-election because Labor's popularity surged in areas with the most Chinese voters. Does this mean the Chinese community are being swayed by such tactics?
I actually think Australian Chinese communities care about bread and butter issues. And it's a community that doesn't vote on a single issue or a single block. That diversity within the Chinese Australian community would have transcended into the ballot box. So it's really, really hard for us to determine whether it was that Chinophobia campaign or the language that Labor used that got the Australian Chinese community more interested in the Labor Party. But if, from my perspective, Labor honed on the issues that are very important to the Australian Chinese community. Medicare is very important. I mean, I've worked on a number of campaigns previously, in federal and state election campaigns, and health is a major issue. Education, obviously, for obvious reasons. I mean, childcare is another one as well, aged care. I mean, these are all important issues for the Australian Chinese community, and Labor did focus on that, as well as using some pretty creative language on Chinophobia and calling out the Liberals for using that tactic. So it's a very diverse community with diverse views.
Malcolm Turnbull has long used the line of Australia being the world's most successful multicultural country. Do you find this to be true?
From a numbers perspective, we are. I mean, over half of Australia's population comes from a multicultural heritage. Half of Australians have at least one parent born overseas. Over nearly half of Australians speak another language other than English. So from a numbers, from a statistics perspective, the Prime Minister is right. But from a practical sense, he's actually quite far off because when you look at Australian institutions like the Parliament, like our executive boardrooms, like our ASX boards, a lot of Australia's cultural diversity is not represented in those aspects. The Parliament, for example, does not reflect modern multicultural Australia. If you want to use those statistics that I've mentioned, over half of Australians come from a multicultural background, if the Parliament is to reflect that statistic, you would have at least over 104 MPs in the Parliament that comes from a multicultural background. At the moment, I think we have about 40 or even less. The Prime Minister can't say we are a successful multicultural country when Australian institutions like our parliaments don't represent that diversity.
Mr. Turnbull also refers to his granddaughter, who is Chinese, when speaking about his relationship with the Chinese community. Is this a case of someone saying, well, I know someone from this community, so it means I know the community and I wouldn't discriminate against it or take advantage of it?
Since the announcement of the Australian Foreign Policy White Paper last month, the Prime Minister has referred to the 1.2 million Chinese Australians and their important role in the Australian-China relationship. You know, he's obviously using that type of language, but from a practical sense, based on what he said about Mao Zedong, you know, telling the Australian people have stood up or should be standing up, just goes to show the lack of cultural competence that he has with the Australian-Chinese community. And, you know, it's a bit rich for the Prime Minister to say that, yes, his granddaughter is of Chinese heritage. I mean, for a lot of politicians and for a lot of political parties, they can't use these type of tactics to build trust with the Chinese community. It takes more than one election cycle to build that trust, to build that confidence. And there's very little engagement between political parties and the Australian Chinese community, unless there is an election on. They don't appreciate politicians and political parties approaching them during an election campaign. They don't appreciate political parties going to them to try and obtain their vote during an election campaign. What they would appreciate is genuine engagement, long-term engagement between the community and political parties, opposition and government, consistently.
So on the other side of the spectrum, how can we bring more cultural diversity into Parliament?
Australian political parties need to prioritise cultural diversity, representation and leadership. Being a Labor Party member, it disappoints me when opportunities like that come about, such as a by-election in a seat where a high proportion of residents come from a specific multicultural background, why Labor would not even consider putting up a high-quality, high-profile candidate from a Chinese-Australian background, not just to win the campaign, not just to win the election or the seat for Labor, but to increase cultural diversity within the Labor Party caucus. To back up the comments that the Prime Minister makes about us being the most successful multicultural society, it would be an even better outcome if our parliaments reflect that diversity. But unfortunately, we are very, very far from that. I mean, political parties at the moment talk about gender diversity. They're talking about Indigenous representation in politics, both very important issues. But we also need to elevate cultural diversity as part of that advocacy as well. A thriving democracy is when all citizens, regardless of backgrounds, are informed and engaged in the process, and by having more candidates and MPs from multicultural backgrounds, I'm confident that multicultural communities will be more interested in getting involved in the political process.